You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. Wayne, it's a quiet time of the year. And I know that this time of the year, when you don't have that much to do, relatively speaking, with the rest of the year, you stick your noggin under the bonnet of a car, one of your beautiful motor cars in your warehouse, and you get on with being busy. I, on the other hand, I just have to keep on dragging up stories. And the story that I dragged up the other day, in fact, it was Friday, I said, if foreign investors are looking at South Africa again, and they have done, given the relative stability of the political situation in South Africa, they've gone for these shares, the banks and the retailers, etc. What's going to be next? And I phoned up a couple of fund managers and said, why don't we talk about the potential for them to go for the PGM companies or the gold companies? And no one was interested. And on that day, I think it was on the Monday of this week, the resources index was up over 3%. Are the foreigners now going for them, do you think, because of interest rates falling, because of dollar prices of commodities going up, etc.? That's a long introduction. Your answer, please.
No, I think that you're right. Look, they're not coming for our resource shares because they're South African and because we've got a political settlement. Those shares just happen to be listed on our stock market.
Right.
I've been banging this drum now forever, it seems.
Yes.
And we should get a commodity upcycle on the back of lower interest rates coming up, hopefully over the next 2 to 3 years. And that should be very, very good for our mining shares, our resource shares, our platinum shares. I don't know about gold. I mean, I literally just don't know about gold. But when you look, I'm just going to draw up some information here. So let me just give me a second to get it here.
I will do. While you're doing that, I'll talk about gold because it's gone below 2,300. Yeah. It's 2,299. But anyway, what's your information?
You know, when you look at a commodity cycle.
Yes.
And let's take Anglo-American Platinum as the
bellwether.
The share to look at.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, there was a good cycle, a good commodity cycle in the 80s up until the 90s. Then it did absolutely, and I'm talking about the share price now, it did absolutely nothing for 10 years until China happened. Okay. So when China happened, the Amplat share price went from 65 Rand to Anglo-American Platinum went to...
It went down to about 500, 600, and at one stage it was... you've told me this story before, but it always fascinates me.
Yeah. Look, so during the China years, it went from like 60 Rand
yes.
through to 1,300 odd Rand.
Mm.
You know, then you had the down years, which happened to coincide with the Zuma years. But it was really a commodity down cycle. It got to 200 Rand.
Yes.
You know, then you had this nice little recovery up until, call it about a year ago.
1,000.
And it got at the peak. You're at the peak, 2,400.
Crikey.
But let's just call it 2,000.
Mm.
Now it's gone from 2,000 back to 600. You know, if this recovers, this share price can double, quite comfortably. And if you just look at the platinum price itself, forget about the share price. If you just look at the platinum price,
yes, in dollars,
you know, during the in dollars during the China years, it went from 450 to 2,100. You know, now it's back at 900.
Well, it's actually interesting you say that, and sorry to interrupt you because it's very pertinent what I'm going to say now. It's not 900, it's $1,015 an ounce, which is up 3.2% on the day, which is very pertinent to our conversation.
Mine's one day out here, mine's still 997. But now, if even more interesting, if you take that at the Rand price of platinum.
Mm.
You know, the Rand price of platinum is essentially at a record high. And that's without the underlying dollar price going up. Now, if we get a commodity cycle, the Rand will strengthen, but it won't strengthen nearly by as much as what the platinum price will actually go up by. So there's huge gearing on these shares in a commodity upcycle.
So let's have a look at this as an investor who's never invested in platinum before. Let's say, okay, I've just established that the platinum price is, let's call it $1,000 an ounce. At one stage, and I can remember it because I bought a wedding ring in platinum and I've still got it sitting in a little box and I'll sell it one day. But anyway, it went to over 2,000, so double what it is now. So the gearing, never mind buying a platinum ETF or something in US dollar terms, if you buy, for example, a platinum group metal producing company in South Africa, your gearing is huge compared to actually just buying the price.
Correct, yes. And when you look at the valuation of Amplats versus the rand price of platinum, you know, it's about the same gap, in other words, undervaluation gap, as what we had in 2014, 2015, when the price went from 200 to 2,000. But you've got to have a commodity upcycle to do that. And I think it's happening. So I think these shares are cheap. I mean, I thought Anglo American Platts were cheap at 900, and then it goes to 600. But I suppose that's life for an investment manager.
You mean you bought too early, as you always do?
Yeah, these shares are very cheap. They truly are. And you can make the same argument for the big commodity players, you know, BHP, Anglos, Billiton. You know, I'm not a huge fan of the single commodity companies like Kumba and that, because they're just too volatile. But yeah.
Well, you've always been a big fan of diversification, whether it be within the commodity asset class or in the equity asset class as a whole. You've always said the only free lunch you get in the world of investing is diversification. You've always said that, and it's always stuck with me.
So you should now be tilting your portfolios a little bit towards maybe South African shares,
yes,
maybe mining shares, away from the Magnificent Seven and global assets.
Well, I noticed that NVIDIA the other day fell by about 7% on the day, and there was a couple of commentators saying it has to happen because look back, and they gave these examples of the dot-com thing, and that was rubbish because the dot-com bubble was nothing to do with companies making money. It was to do with marketing, in my opinion.
It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. But on the other hand, the AI shares are way overvalued, in my opinion. They need to come back in order to go forward. Do you agree with that sentiment?
Yes, but yes, I do, with one qualification.
Go on.
This is not the dot-com bubble.
No, it's not.
You know, the Magnificent Seven, these are proper shares. These are proper companies.
Yeah.
They've got serious underlying earnings. So they're not, the share prices aren't going to fall 80% and then fall 100% like the dot-com.
Right.
So maybe the shares can come off 20, 30% before they start going up again, because there's serious underlying earnings. Now, if you take NVIDIA, last time I looked at the price earnings ratio, it's in the hundreds.
Right.
You know, but the earnings are also going through the roof. Eh? So the most bearish argument you can make for the Magnificent Seven is that the shares have just run ahead. So it's not a bubble. It just may be an overvaluation, but it's not a bubble.
No, right. If you had a chance of, I'll give you two shares now. Share number one, the one that you've just spoken of, NVIDIA. Share number two is the leading South African poultry producer, Rainbow Chicken, listing on the JSE today as part of its unbundling from RCL Foods. Which would you buy, the chicken or the chip?
I'll buy the chip, even with the overvaluation. I really don't like chicken. Not
the food.
Like eating chicken.
Yeah.
But I really don't like the chicken shares. I don't like any raw agricultural commodity company.
Too cyclical,
fishing,
right?
Fishing companies included. It's way too cyclical. They are just fundamentally, significantly more factors beyond management's control. Mm. And I know you could make the same argument for commodity shares, but I think there's even more with fishing shares and chicken shares and even maize. Even it's just too volatile. Yeah. I mean, they can have cracker years. They can absolutely coin it some years.
Yes.
But, you know, with mining shares, You know the commodity cycle. It's the global cycle. But the fishing cycle and the food cycle and the pestilence cycle and the dumping cycle and the cold currents and the hot currents and quotas, it's just too much. So I don't like these raw agricultural shares.
If you go to the Western Cape,
too much beyond your control.
To the wheatlands of the Western Cape, Wayne, if you drive from Cape Town to Plettenberg Bay, for example, and you go through that beautiful countryside and you see the fields of wheat, those fields look really good at the moment. Then you get a week of rain or a week of cold or something like that, and there's your wheat crop. And it's out the window, which is so very, very difficult, which is why I suppose that the futures markets are in place so people can hedge against their wheat crop production.
Yeah, but look, the farmers, you know, they can hedge it, they can sell forward, they can do all of these things.
Mm.
But, you know, they can also call it wrong. I just don't like it. It's like low-cost airlines. I also just don't like them.
I can't stand them. I've made one vow in life, never to fly Ryanair or EasyJet in Europe. I mean, you don't have that. I mean, you've got low-cost airlines in South Africa, and I don't know which ones are still alive.
Well, we've only got low-cost airlines in South Africa.
What's happened to SAA,
is not a low-cost airline. There you still get a little grub box. Yeah, I don't mind the low-cost airlines. It makes no difference to me. But, you know, the one thing about flying in South Africa, I mean, maybe there is a capacity issue, but I flew down to Bloemfontein. Now, Bloem is not the world's biggest city, and I didn't fly early in the morning or late in the afternoon, you know, the busy time.
Mm.
You know, I flew during the day and during the morning.
Right.
The plane was full.
Full of people doing what?
It was full. I don't know, but the plane was full. And you go to Cape Town or Durban, you catch a plane in South Africa nowadays, the planes are full.
I can understand Durban and Cape Town. I mean, not so much Durban, but Cape Town, because it's beautiful. What do you do in Bloemfontein, unless you're a farmer?
I went and gave a presentation. Well, I gave a presentation.
Yeah, I know that, but what about the other people?
The plane was full. I don't know. And actually, the Bloem Airport's actually quite lekker. They've got a nice mug and bean there.
Mm.
We had like a little cup of coffee and a little snack. It was actually quite lekker.
You don't have to fly to Bloemfontein to have a cup of coffee and a little snack, though, Wayne. I'm talking about which business people or tourists are flying to Bloemfontein. I'm not being nasty about Bloemfontein in the old Orange Free State. I've been there on numerous occasions, and the people are very friendly, and it's quite
quirky. I actually like Bloemfontein.
I do too.
Yeah, it's almost taking me back to my roots from Kimberley.
Mm. Okay, but everything's fine. You know what's nice about June and July and to a certain extent August in the Northern Hemisphere is because all the people have gone away in the Northern Hemisphere. And I phoned a fund manager actually on Monday and said exactly what I said in my long and convoluted introduction about platinum shares, PGM shares. I said, let's get someone to talk about this. And they said, Lindsay, everyone's gone on holiday. And I said, where have they gone? They said, they've gone to the Seychelles, they've gone to Mauritius, they've gone to Europe, they've gone to Ibiza, all these places. So we've got no one to talk to. And I like that because markets are quiet, aren't they? And you can get on with doing what you do with your head in the bonnet of a vintage motor car.
Yeah, I mean, the markets are quieter in December, obviously.
Mm.
But, yeah, the markets are relatively quiet now. So we'll see. The next 6 months is going to be interesting because we'll see what inflation does,
yes,
and whether these interest rate cuts actually come or not. We'll actually see it.
Gosh, I hope so. I'm
pegging all of my hopes on that. I mean, it has to happen. Interest rates can't stay where they are now.
Of course they can.
And inflation will fall. As we spoke last week,
yes,
UK inflation is already at
2%.
So the UK is going to, and that was up at 11 or 12, eh?
11.6% at its peak, which is an astonishing rise and an even more an astonishing fall, which is fantastic news for the UK people.
And I mean, so the UK will cut interest rates. Europe's going to cut interest rates.
Already
States
has.
Will cut interest rates.
Yeah.
They did cut, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see, because all of this is actually progressing as an absolutely normal cycle. There's nothing actually abnormal about what's happening now. It might have taken longer than what I expected and maybe a few other people expected as well. Because, you know, in the beginning of January, the market was discounting 5 interest rate cuts in America. And, you know, when they did the pivot speech in December, and just during that pivot speech, I mean, Anglo-American Platinum went from, I think, $700 to $1,000. Gave it all back again, obviously.
Of course.
But, you know, just one smidgen of news about interest rate cuts. You know, these shares can run, eh? I mean, we saw that 2 weeks ago in South Africa.
They can run for years. That's the thing. Just got to get out before this, before, or just when they make the turn, you've got to say, that's it, my love affair is over, get out of these things, I've made my money, now let's have the banks or the retailers or whatever it is.
But it'll be an absolutely normal cycle. You spoke earlier on about, will anyone come and buy the platinum shares? Not a sausage, no one wants to buy them. And then right at the top, no one wants to sell them because you'll only hear good news.
But you've learned these lessons, haven't you? Because you say that you always say I buy too early and I sell too early as well. But I think that, you know, I don't know how much longer you're going to be in the business, maybe another 5-6 years or something. But you have learned, haven't you, I think?
No, you do learn. But, it's a difficult thing because you're trying to predict the future. Look, I don't want to stay in investments as long as Shapiro. I don't want to be in investments in my 90s.
He's only 75.
No, but he looks as though he's 90, though. No, he actually doesn't. He's actually quite a sprightly character.
Well, look, I mean, the whole thing about Shapiro, with whom you're obsessed, obviously, because, and I am as well, because he's a lovely fellow. But he was born looking like he does now. That's my opinion of him. I haven't seen a young Shapiro photo. He looks exactly like he is. Actually, he will look exactly the same when he's 95.
Yeah, we must actually get Shapiro to put a picture of him up when he was like 1 or 2 years old on his... on his ex account or something, and just chat. I'll chat to Shapiro tonight.
Okay, good. Yeah, please ask him that. And don't use, you know, you can use, I can be anonymous because otherwise he won't speak to me tomorrow, which I do.
Yeah.
The other thing, Wayne, that I need to speak to you about is obviously food. Now, during the rare days of sunshine and blue skies and no wind and rain in the Netherlands, I get on my bicycle and I ride to a place called Fera, which is a very historic fishing, marina village, about 6.5 k's away from Middelburg, which is where I live. And it's absolutely a lovely ride through the countryside, etc. And I was going past this farm once, about a year ago, and there were these cows there. I hadn't seen the likes of these cows before. So I sort of knocked on the door and said, you know, how's it going? What a lovely herd of cattle you have there. And they said, yeah, they're Belgian Blues. And they said, and we slaughter twice a year. We slaughter in June and November, and then we sell to the public. Would you like to be on our mailing list? I said, hello. I mean, I don't like the idea of the flesh of animals slain in anger, but on the other hand, I do like a good steak, Wayne, as you do. And they phoned me up on Monday. What is it today? Wednesday. Yeah, they phoned me up on Monday. And I said, well, come along. We've got the goods that you want. And I bought a couple of ribeye steaks. One that is in the freezer and the other one I had. It's about an inch thick and marbled with fat and everything. And I cooked this thing. And compared to any other steak I've had in the Netherlands in the last 6-7 years, this was sensational. I had to sit down because my knees buckled with the taste of it. It was superb. It was unlike any supermarket steak that you could get. And I just had it with some green beans and a glass of red wine, and it was fabulous. There's nothing like a good steak, Wayne.
I agree with you on that. A good steak. Now, the world's biggest rugby fan and I went out to a place called the Cradle Boutique Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very, very nice place. Mm-hmm. And they have got outstanding food. But when it came to dinner, I had a look at the menu and there were so many items that really appealed to me. One of them was steak. They had about 2 or 3 different steaks on the menu. They had a tomahawk steak, but I don't think I'm ready for that. I don't think I can tackle a tomahawk. That's a
huge things, aren't they?
They're huge. And then I was looking at the menu and I saw a pork chop.
Okay.
And I thought, I haven't had a grilled pork chop forever.
Mm.
And I ordered it and it was absolutely delicious. They put it on like a bed of polenta. They had some, I can never pronounce the word, sriracha.
I don't know what they did.
Sauce. It's like a peppery sauce. Like it's like a chili pepper sauce type of thing.
Oh, I know what you're talking
very,
about.
Very nice. Yeah. And it was, and some nice roast vegetables. Now, for me to say nice and vegetables
in the same sentence,
they really
like
were nice. They really were nice, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I didn't regret not having the steak, but then for breakfast, I ordered Millie cakes, corn fritters.
Thanks.
With lovely honey and mustard cured bacon slices.
For breakfast?
For breakfast. It was too delicious for words.
You're sort of quite a romantic. I mean, you and the world's greatest rugby fan, world's biggest rugby fan, you know, you're both successful people. But you do go off on these little trips together, don't you? And it's very romantic. It's very nice.
You know, it's the one night. We like going away for one night. Because you get a break, you get a nice break.
Yes.
But then you're not taken away from other activities for too long. Like the world's biggest is studying for her MBA now in her last year, in her last couple of months. So she's working exceptionally hard.
Yes.
And of course, I've always got work to do. But we went with some very good friends of ours that I've known forever. I mean, literally 40 years. And they came with as well. And we had a truly lovely time. And we watched the rugby.
Yeah, you see, that's where you've lost me. Because I know that Wales, Shapiro was telling me that Wales played South Africa in a rugby match, apparently, over the weekend. And there was a forward pass.
Yes.
That was blatantly a forward pass, but South Africa got the benefit of the doubt from the TMO. I didn't see it because I'm not a rugby fan, but I don't like that because South Africa always seems to get the bias of the referees. That's my opinion, and you're the greatest team in the world. I know that. I know all that, but I'm a football fan. But that pass, according to Shapiro, who's an expert in these matters, that pass was at least 1 meter forward, Wayne.
Yeah. No, it could have been. I must say, I don't recall that, to be honest. But I mean, when I started, in my 20s and late 20s, going to watch sport games,
right.
And you sit in the crowd and everyone shouts at the ref, "Come on, ref! Didn't you see that? Oh, come on, ref! Can't you? What's wrong with you? Are you blind?" I've never had that opinion that I know more about the game sitting up in the stands or watching on television than what the refs do, you know, and sometimes the calls go for you and sometimes the calls go
against
you.
It's a difficult job being a referee, for goodness sake.
It's a terrible job.
Horrible job. But anyway, I'm sure the world's biggest rugby fan was very, very happy about what happened at the weekend, and I'm just sorry that you and I can't talk about football. Yeah, okay, very good. Okay, well, Wayne, it's been great speaking to you as always. Nice to have a quiet time and good, steady markets. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg, and that was Wayne on Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.